Anything that perverts the gospel of Christ is to be condemned and rejected. Because when you pervert the gospel of Christ, you do so at the peril of men's souls. So there's so much bad teaching concerning health, wealth, and prosperity. We need to get back to the Word of God and understand what the Word of God teaches about these subjects. So previously we brought a message on, was Jesus and the apostles rich? And this morning I want to ask you the question. Are you rich? See, it depends on how you measure it. Let me finish the sermon title. Are you rich toward God? Because that's most important. And everybody measures wealth and poverty, I think, perhaps differently. Those considerations for most of us, they're relative. Which is to say that we tend to compare wealth or poverty against some other measure that we see in this world. But instead of taking this world's measurement, we want to come to the Word of God and we want to take God's measurement. And believe me, the world's measurement and God's calculations, they don't match. They're different standards. And the health, wealth, and prosperity false gospel has taken a worldly standard to measure wealth and prosperity. So we need to reject that standard. We need to come over to the Word of God. And we need to ask ourselves this question today. Are we rich toward God? Look with me at Luke chapter 12. And I want us to take a look and read at verse 15. Now, we're not going to turn to 1 Timothy 6 right now. But though, for those of you that were here that listened to the financial module that Brother Bill Smith did, most of his material in those first two lessons, they began in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6 begins with a warning.
1 Timothy 6 no tanga nirairo.
And it's a warning toward those that don't receive the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it talks about false teachers that don't honor those wholesome words. And who falsely teach that gain is godliness. And I wonder if Paul specifically had these words in mind when he spoke of the wholesome words of Jesus Christ. Now let's just read one verse here.
Verse 15.
And he said unto them, these are the words of Christ. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Do you know what these health, wealth, and prosperity prophets will do? They will convince you that life consists in the abundance of things. That you can measure your spirituality. That you can somehow measure your rightness with God. Maybe in US dollars. Maybe in houses and lands and automobiles. That you can demonstrate your righteousness in the abundance of your possessions. Jesus Christ said this was not true. Listen carefully to me. Jesus Christ was a prophet. He is a prophet. He's the mouthpiece of God. He's more than that. He's the Word manifest in the flesh. He was not a health, wealth, and prosperity preacher. Amen. We have got to reject this false teaching. And we want to reject it intelligently. We want to reject it because it's wrong. Okay, your opinion, my opinion, the false preacher's opinion. That's not important. The Word of God is important. Jesus Christ said, beware of covetousness. Okay, all of us have to be aware. You know, covetousness is not a sin that's limited somehow to rich. Covetousness rears its head in the heart of even poor people. It's a sin of the heart. And it is present. It can be present in any man or woman. So the Lord says, beware. Because man's life, it doesn't consist in the things which a man possesses, in the abundance of our possessions. Now, why did Jesus say this? Well, in the passage, he says this in answer to a question. In verse 13, there's a man that comes to Jesus. And he says, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Here's a man that comes to Jesus. He's not seeking the truth. He's not looking for salvation. He's not interested in following Christ. He wants Jesus Christ to mediate in a family dispute so that he might come into some wealth. That sounds like a lot of people today seeking these prophets.
Amen.
Amen. They're not looking for the right thing. And Jesus explains to him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? In essence, Jesus says, I didn't come here to make you rich. Amen. Not by man's standards. Not as far as is measured by US dollars. That's not why Christ came. And then he follows this up with an illustration. He tells about a rich man who's a farmer. And his farm is doing very, very well. He's even got barns to store his things in. And the barns are overflowing. And so he has a conversation with himself. Do you ever have conversations with yourself? You should. You should talk to yourself. Amen. It's good for you. It's called thinking. Amen. He says to himself, you know what? I'm doing well. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down these barns. They're too small anyway. I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to fill those up. And I'm going to retire early. And I'm going to take my ease. And I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. I've worked hard. I'm going to enjoy some pleasure. See, he's satisfied in his own wealth. And as long as you're satisfied in your wealth, you'll never be satisfied in God. Amen. Because God wants you to be satisfied in Him. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, okay?
But this
is part of the message. Some of you are never going to find satisfaction in wealth because you're never going to be wealthy.
Amen.
I'm talking about by human standards. I'm talking about measured by possessions in US dollars.
Maybe that's a gift to you from God so that you can find satisfaction in Him. Do you know what the Lord says about this man? Look at what God said unto him in verse 20. Luke chapter 12, verse
20.
God said unto him, Thou fool! This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Look up here, church. You're going to die someday. Every one of us is going to die someday. And they're going to put you in the ground. And they're not going to bury your stuff with you. You
want
to know why? Because your ancestors will be fighting over it. Amen.
Amen.
Your brothers and sisters are going to try to steal everything that you had left. And then who does it belong to? You know, a man that puts his focus on material things, God calls him a fool. Now, I want you to look at verse 21 because this is the conclusion. Verse 21 says, So is he. So is he. What does that mean? Just like that rich man was a fool, so is everyone that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, you can be rich in this world's goods and be poor toward God. You can be poor in this world's goods and be rich toward God. God says that if you're rich in this world's goods, but you're not rich toward Him, that you're a fool. So my question to you today, church, is, are you rich toward God? When it says rich toward God, is that talking about material wealth or spiritual wealth? Which is it, church? It's obviously spiritual. And this is what I want us to try to incorporate into our thinking today. When we hear talk about riches, when we hear talk about poverty, you understand what terms this world is speaking in. They're speaking in material terms. But God doesn't measure poverty or wealth in purely material terms. Listen, the Bible speaks of unrighteous mammon. That's material wealth. The Bible speaks of filthy lucre. That's material wealth. The Bible speaks of uncertain riches. That's material wealth. The Bible speaks, even when it's not a negative statement, all the Bible can say about material wealth is that it is rich in this world's, what does it say? This world's good. In rich in this world. But listen to how God describes spiritual wealth in the Bible. In Proverbs 13:7, it's called great riches. In Hebrews 11:26, it's called greater riches. Greater riches than the treasures which were in Egypt. Do you know what those greater riches were for Moses? The reproach of Christ. See, God does not measure in U.S. dollars. The Bible speaks in Proverbs 8:18 of durable riches. In Proverbs 24, verse 4, it speaks of precious and pleasant riches. Look at Luke chapter 16.
Verse
11. You're right there in the book of Luke. Look at Luke chapter 16.
Luke 16, 11.
Now I am not saying that material riches are unimportant. I'm not saying that material possessions don't matter at all. Because how you manage material possessions says something about the condition of your heart. Because we're supposed to be stewards, right? Everything that we have came from God. That's true whether it's little or whether it's much. But I want you to look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 11.
As well as Luke 16, verse 11.
Jesus says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's material wealth. Who will commit to your trust the true riches? That's spiritual wealth. Do you know true riches are more important than unrighteous mammon? Now, they're in that verse, they're related. Because your management of unrighteous mammon, it has a way of revealing your faithfulness in true riches. But if you have this world's good and you're not rich toward God, you're a poor man no matter what kind of house you live in. You're a poor man no matter what kind of car you drive. You're a poor man no matter how much money you have in your pocket. Because God in the Bible puts the emphasis on true riches. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I gave you this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. And this is a verse you're probably familiar with it. It's a verse that is abused by health, wealth, and prosperity prophets. But its message is very clear. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9.
Bible wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9.
For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Now I believe that's a verse about the incarnation. He left the wealth of heaven. He came to the poverty of this earth. Why did he do that? That ye through his poverty might be rich. Here's my question. This riches, when it says that he might be rich, is that talking about unrighteous mammon or true riches? Is it talking about material wealth or is it talking about spiritual wealth? If it's talking about material wealth, there aren't many people in Zimbabwe that are right with God. Do you believe that's the measurement? You know, if you were as right with God, then you would have. These preachers are liars. They're false prophets. They don't measure wealth the way God measures wealth. We need to fix our measurement today. Now I want to say this. I've got three simple points. I'm really trying to get you to see the way God measures wealth. But as we contrast these different measurements of wealth and poverty, I've got three points here. Turn to Luke chapter 7 if you would please.
And I'm going to Luke chapter 7.
We'll look at many verses in Luke today. And my first point is this. God often uses material poverty to bring about spiritual profit. Did you hear what I said? God has a way of using material poverty to bring about spiritual profit. Now, I am not saying that poverty is to be equated with spirituality. That's not so. You know, there are people over the course of church history. They've misapplied this, and they've done things like taken a vow of poverty. Or they've lived in some form of asceticism where they deny themselves everything. And that becomes the measurement of their spirituality. That's not what the Bible teaches. Okay, no more than the Bible teaches that if you have material wealth that you're right with God. The issue is not whether you're material wealthy or materially poor. But God is more likely to bring to use material poverty to bring you into a proper trust relationship with Himself. What I'm about to show you, I've never noticed this before until yesterday. And you can see the same thing in the book of Matthew. John the Baptist has sent two of his disciples. Because John the Baptist has been locked up in jail. And he's wondering, is Jesus Christ the one that we were waiting for? And so these disciples of John come to Jesus and said, are you the one, or do we wait for another? And this is the answer that Jesus gives them. Verse 22. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. Now I want you to look at it. I want you to look at it carefully. These are a series of miracles that are performed by the promised
Messiah.
How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Are we together? Now watch what the list that we just looked at. When the Messiah came, when he encountered blindness, what did he do? He calls the blind to what? He calls the blind to see. Are we together? Okay, when he encountered the lame man, what did he cause the lame man to do? To walk. When he encountered the leper, What did he do to the leper? He cleansed the leper. When he encountered the deaf man, what did he do for the deaf man? He opened his ears. When he encountered the dead, what did he do? He raised the dead. Now look at the last thing in the list. To the poor. To the poor. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now you know what we would do if we were filling in the blank. Oh, we want the answer to blindness is seeing. We want the answer to lameness is walking. We want the answer to leprosy is cleansing. We want the answer to deafness is hearing. We want the answer to poverty, it's... See, you were going to say, it's having money. But that's not what Jesus said. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. Do you know why? Because Jesus didn't come to get something from those he was preaching to. He came to give something to those whom he preached to. And the answer was not wealth. The answer was the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
He didn't come to eradicate poverty. He said, the poor you have always with you. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. Because if you receive the gospel, you're not going to be poor forever. Now you might die in poverty, but the moment you're dead, your material poverty doesn't matter anymore. Because you have eternal life. Because true riches are the only kind of riches that outlive your death. Amen. Look at the book of Luke chapter 6.
That's like Luke chapter 6.
And verse 20.
Verse 20.
I'm not even sure that I understand this. But this is what Jesus said. Luke
6
and verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. And said, blessed be ye poor. For yours is the kingdom of God. Amen. Guess what? Just taking the statement for what it says. There's a blessing that is promised to the poor that is not promised to the rich. Some of you can leave church today saying, hallelujah, I'm blessed. Amen. Now, I'm not wishing poverty upon you. That's not the point. But if you're in poverty, you ought to claim everything that's yours in Christ. Amen. Jesus said, blessed are the poor. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, you don't have to turn there because I want to look at another passage in Luke, but let me turn to James chapter 2 and verse 5. Let me read this for you. In James chapter
2
and verse 5,
Jacob,
the Bible says, hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Did you hear that? God had chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. Do you remember, there was a rich man one time that came to Jesus. And he said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now you can look this up in Luke chapter 18, also Mark chapter 10. And Jesus said to this man, you just need to keep the commandments. Now look, he's trying to show this man his need. The same way that we would use the law to show men that they're a sinner. And he gave the man some examples. Don't lie, don't commit adultery. Honor your father and your mother. And do you know what that man said? He said, I've done all these things from my youth up. Do you know what Jesus didn't mention to him? He didn't mention the 10th commandment, which is thou shalt not covet. See, this man is not being honest about the condition of his own heart. So the Lord's going to expose the dishonesty of his heart. He said to the man, there's just one thing left. The Lord made it out like it was an easy thing. Just take this wealth you have, sell all of it, and give what you have to the poor. See, nothing to it. You want to inherit eternal life? You want to follow me? Just sell it all. Sell the business. Sell the cattle. Sell the houses. Sell the cars. Give it to the poor. And let's go serve God. You know what the Bible says? The man went away very sorry. Why? Because he had much riches. And Jesus began to speak to his disciples. And he began to tell them how hardly it will be for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of God. Do you remember? He said it's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now I like the account in Mark chapter 10. Because when you read Mark 10, 24 and 25,
Mark 10, 24 and 25.
It explains what he's talking about. Because when you trust in uncertain riches, you're not trusting God. And if you're not trusting God, then you can't go into the kingdom of God. So the benefit that those in poverty have is that they don't have anything to trust in apart from God. And this is a gift in comparison to the wealth that would keep you from God. Amen. See, some of you have prayed, God, give us our daily bread. Because you knew that if God didn't come through, there wouldn't be any bread to eat. God has put those who He has said that those who are poor in this world is good are rich in faith. Now listen, if you're in poverty today, I don't want you to stay there. But if that's what God has to do for you to keep you in faith, then so be it. Because it would be better to be rich toward God than rich in this world. Now I don't know if you can receive that, but that's from the Bible. These are not the words and doctrines of Brother Lee. These are the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't like the teaching, take it up with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Look, the reason we talk about financial principles and stewarding the unrighteous mammon is because we do want you, we want you to grow to manage your resources to come out of the poverty that you're
in.
But that's only so that you can take care of your family and have to give. It's not so that you can be rich. Because riches don't answer life's real problems. They just create new problems. Amen. How many of you are receiving this? Are you getting it? So, first of all, God often uses material poverty to bring about spiritual profit. Remember the rich man in Lazarus in Luke 16. Which had the true riches? The poor man. Listen, 5 minutes. 5 minutes in hell. 5 minutes in hell, that man would have taken back all of his earthly wealth. To trade places with Lazarus. Amen.
Amen.
Secondly, and we've already stated this, but I want to be very clear. It is possible to have material poverty and spiritual wealth at the same time. In fact, it's not only possible, it's common. It's more common than having material wealth and having spiritual wealth at the same time. Let me read a passage to you from Proverbs chapter 13. If you'd like to turn to Proverbs, there are many passages in Proverbs that are relevant to this subject. In Proverbs chapter
13
and verse 7, the Bible says, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing." That's material wealth and spiritual poverty. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. That's material poverty and spiritual wealth. Do you see? Listen to the words. I quoted this for you 2 weeks ago. This is what Paul said about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10.
In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 10.
He said this in 2 Corinthians 10.
2 Corinthians 6 verse 10.
He said, "As poor, yet making many rich." He's talking about his material poverty as an apostle and the spiritual wealth of those to whom he preached. He said, as having nothing, that's his material poverty, and yet possessing all things, that's his spiritual wealth. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9. It's very clear in these two passages. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9. This is Jesus speaking to the church at Smyrna. Look, he's speaking to a church. Cornerstone, he's speaking to a church. Did you hear what I said? He's speaking to a church. You do not measure the success of a church by the size of the church building. You do not measure the success of a church by the size of the car park. You do not measure a church by the amount of the offering. That's the wrong standard. It's addressed to a church. And this is what Jesus said. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. That's talking about material poverty. But then he says in parenthesis, but thou art rich. How can he say I know your poverty, but you're rich? Because it's possible to have material poverty and yet be rich toward God. Now, on the other hand, look at Revelation chapter 3. You know, it's hard for some of us. maybe we're on the combi. And we look and we see the big church building. And the nice big garden. And the pastor that's got a nice salary. And houses to stay on. And lots of resources. And they're not even preaching the truth. Some of them are preaching heresy. And we think, why is this right? How does this happen? We don't even have our own building. These people preach heresy. And they have plenty of money. How does this work? Revelation chapter
3.
Also addressed to a church. He says in verse, this is Jesus speaking to the church at Laodicea. And verse 17. Because thou sayest, Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Their building's paid for. Their car park is filled with nice vehicles. Their pastor has a big salary. I mean, they have office buildings and paid staff. It's a big project. They've got everything they need. But look at their true condition. Jesus said, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, God doesn't look at this the way that we do. And I'm trying to get you, church, to look through the Lord's eyes and set your affections on the true riches and ask you the question, are you rich toward God? My third point that I want to make here. Material wealth. Or we could say material poverty. They are always temporary. Nobody is materially rich forever. Now listen, I hope you won't think it disrespectful of me. But Robert Gabriel Mugabe.
I see, Mr. Mugabe.
You talk about a rich man. Whoa! How many of you ever seen a picture of the house that he built in Harare? You ever seen a picture of the house he built? Can I tell you something about that house? He doesn't live there. Amen. I'll tell you something else. He doesn't even care who lives there. It doesn't make any difference to him. Because the moment he breathed his last breath, he was no longer a rich man.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
you.
And you know, for that matter, the poorest man on this continent, the man who dies with nothing and buried in an unmarked grave, his poverty ended the moment he breathed his last. At least his material poverty. Now, on the other hand, only spiritual wealth is eternal. We could also say the material poverty or spiritual poverty. Excuse me. Spiritual wealth is eternal. Or spiritual poverty is eternal. That's the kind that stays with you. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs
23.
Actually, let me give you Proverbs 27 and verse 24 first. It's very clear here. Proverbs 27, verse 24. It says, for riches are not forever. Riches are not forever. Is that clear? Look at Proverbs chapter
23.
Now, most of us know this. It says in verse 4, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. That's what we're trying to get you to do, is to cease from your own wisdom. Trust in the wisdom of God. Verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle to heaven. Amen. Some of us have experienced that. Easy come, easy go. There are a lot of rich men that'll be poor men before this year's over. Amen.
Amen.
Ah. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18,
Petro wekutanga chapter 1 verse 18,
it speaks of gold and silver.
Parikutaura pamusoro pegoridhe nendarama.
And it calls them corruptible.
Zvonzi zvinhu zvinoora izvo.
We were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold.
Hatina kudzikinura zvinhu zvinoora zvakafanana nesilveri nendarama.
Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19.
Matthew 6:19.
Jesus said, "Lay not up treasure for yourselves on earth."
Jesu akati musazvunganidzire upfumi panyama.
Where moth and rust doth corrupt.
Kune zvipukuto zvinoora.
And thieves break through and steal.
Nembavha dzinopinda dzichiba.
You know that's the trouble with earthly riches.
Ndodambudziko pamusoro peupfumi hwepanyika.
You know, there was somebody at one time. My children, yesterday my children found a bag of old Zimbabwean coins from the
90s.
I don't know who put them, who bagged them and stored them away. But I thought to myself, that's somebody's savings account. They thought, we'll save this for later. We might need this. And now you can't get an ice cream cone with it. It's corruptible. You might come up with some riches, but they can be stolen. But do you know what Jesus said? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and thieves do not break through. Amen. Amen. You mean you can have a savings account in heaven? Amen. And inflation will never touch it? There are some Zimbabweans that were rich in
RTGS.
And then what happened? It's worth nothing. But you lay up for yourselves in heaven. And it'll never lose its value. Amen. I'm asking you this morning, are you rich toward God? Do you know I'm not gonna look up these verses for sake of time. But in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, it speaks of the riches of God's goodness. In Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, it speaks of the riches of God's glory. The Bible speaks in Ephesians 1:7 of the riches of His grace. In chapter 2, Ephesians 2 and verse 7, it speaks of the exceeding riches of His grace. And the Bible speaks in 2 Corinthians 9:15 of God's unspeakable gift. It speaks of the treasures of knowledge and of wisdom. And Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8.
Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8
speaks of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Church, listen to me. I want the Holy Spirit to make the truth real in your heart. I know you've got to eat. I know you've got to pay rent. I know you've got to pay the school fees. I know you've got to live in this world. But you've got to change the way that you think. In the way you measure your wealth. Are you rich toward God? Because the moment that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, God put an unsearchable and unsearchable wealth of riches inside you. The unsearchable riches of Christ. I don't know where it originated from, but I heard a quote in the last couple of weeks that I thought was pretty powerful. It said, add up what you have that money can't buy, and what death can't take away, and that is your true worth. Did you get that? Add up what money, what you have that money can't buy. And what death can't take away. And that's your true worth.